सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परम् ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। उपनिषत् ज्ञान इत्यर्थः। सो एसेंशियली देयर आर हाउ मेनी उपनिषद्स? Guruji would say there is only one Upanishad because Jnanaha Ityartha. Depending on how many students and what kind of students, the Rishis have given in various perspectives. So it is the same knowledge given in different angles so that the student can contemplate and reach to the highest state. Of these Upanishads, 10 are supposed to be the main ones. They are called in a very academic manner, they are called major Upanishads. It does not mean that the knowledge in them has suddenly become major, or the minor Upanishads have minor knowledge, but it is from the standpoint that those who have established whichever marga, Dvaita, Advaita, Vishishta Advaita, Nimbarka, Gaudapadiya, so there are various shakhas, they have to write Prasthanatraya, commentary on Prasthanatraya, the Brahma Sutras, then Bhagavad Gita, and 10 Upanishads. So this set. Because of those Upanishads included in this list of 10, they are called major. Otherwise, there are total of 108 definitely valid Upanishads. Because in the later years, seeing the grip of Upanishads on Hindu mindset, there have been people who have introduced lot of new style Upanishads. I think it was Akbar's time he got a particular Upanishad written, or got it written, it was called Allo Upanishad. I am yet to get my hands on that copy, but it was called Allo Upanishad. Then there are people who are devoted to their masters, realized masters, and you know, their quotable quotes, they gather it and they call it as the Upanishad of their master. Not that it is originally there, but for our validity, we find that 108 Upanishads are mentioned in Mauktika Upanishad. Mauktika Upanishad is a dialogue between Bhagwan Sri Ramji and, again, like yesterday we saw it was a dialogue between Ramji and Lakshmanji. Here it is a dialogue between Bhagwan Ramchandraji and Hanumanji. And it is in that we find 108 of them listed out by the Lord. And according to Bhagwan Ramchandraji, he says 108 are not required if the sincere seeker is seeking the ultimate truth. Vairagyavan. For him, just the Mandukya Upanishad is sufficient. Bhagavan Ramchandraji himself says. But if that standpoint does not sink in well, then you can go into the next rest of the Upanishads. Now, one of the minor Upanishads which is often not spoken about or thought about, and there is also the comparative analysis of the language used and the words, Sanskrit words used. They say it may have been of a later Upanishad. If Ramji has mentioned it, there is no point of discussing later Upanishad or earlier Upanishad. Bhagavan Ramchandraji has mentioned this, and I did not find any other copy or version denying it. But definitely there is one argument: in the Vedic literature you did not find the word puja. And here there is Atma Puja Upanishad. In those days they would mention puja, aradhana, archana, all of this put together. They would use the word upasana. So, puja is not a word that you often find, and that is the contention of the people from the academic background to say that this is of a later Upanishad, because puja is a word which is used in the later time frames. Now, my contention is two standpoints. One, that evolved Sanskrit which has root words for everything. Do you know, if you have to master Sanskrit, you have to just master 2200 root words. That's it. I'm sure your vocabulary in different languages is more than 2000 words. If you have to master Sanskrit, Sanskritam can be mastered with just 2200 root words. And then how they are declined, it will evolve. You will know the root word. So the root words are already there. So it could have been used by the ancient rishis themselves. And second, we are not looking at it from the academic standpoint. We are not looking at it from the academic standpoint. We are looking at it from the contemplative abhyasa standpoint. And from that standpoint, anything which is worth reading, it is worth looking into. And Atma Puja Upanishad is one such rare piece. Now the Upanishad does not start with a Shanti Mantra, though it is from the Atharva Shaka. It does not start with a Shanti Mantra. And some commentators have said, not that there are many commentators, some commentators have said that the very first syllable that is uttered is its Shanti Mantra, which is Om. So, this particular Upanishad, the premise for this Upanishad is, we often perform puja. In fact, we should be doing it daily. Daily, people say, how regularly? As regularly as you eat, breathe, that regularly. How long should I keep doing it? As long as the Lord does not feel bored by our puja and feel bothered by it and say, enough, I'll come. Until then. So keep disturbing him until then with puja. What is the purpose of the upasana? What is the purpose of puja? The purpose of puja or upasana is twofold. One, deha atma buddhi or deha tadatmyata has to be removed. That is one purpose. The second purpose is nothing less than Bhagavad darshanam. Every time I read through Bhagavat, Mahapurana, there are two stories that are so dear to me for the inspirational purposes: Dhruva and Prahlada. And what is more inspiring is Dhruva is not even 5 years old, Balakaha, and he sits there intensely for 6 months. And Bhagavan gives him darshan. And here our years after years are going by. I don't know when it will happen. Whenever. But that should be the purpose of Upasana. That Deha Tadatmyata, meaning the identification with the body, is completely dissolved. And the second one is to find oneness with that Lord. To have His Bhagavad Darshan. These are the two purposes of Puja or Upasana. But many of us probably just light a lamp, light an agarbatti and sit in front of the Lord. Our morning obligation, or whenever you do that, that obligation is done. But that is not puja. Puja has 16 steps to it. That's why it is called Shodasha Upachara Puja. 16 steps of puja. Now, with various different systems, different traditions, these 16 steps, sometimes you will find one step included, one step removed. But the point is that you invite the Lord from your heart into that murti. Having invited Him into that murti, you offer various upachara or steps as you would to your best of the best friends, or however you relate to that Lord. There are some who relate to the Lord like Arjuna did. His relationship with the Lord was as a friend. There are gopikas. These were in love, like a beloved of their heart. Then there are those like Sudama, he was also a friend. Then there was, you know, some treat him like father, some treat him like brother. He doesn't have any objection. Ena kena prakarena. Whatever method, it doesn't matter. In fact, he is so liberal. He says, whatever be the emotion, if that emotion is still tied down, kenapi bhavena manaha krishne niveshayet. It doesn't matter. Therefore, even Kamsa, Kamsa's bhava was fear. He was so afraid of Bhagavan that he was doing 24/7 Bhagavad Chintana. But his fear was pure. Our fear is also not pure. Neither is devotion, neither is fear. Sishupala and Dantavakra, their devotion was, I mean, not that they, that was, but their emotion was pure hatred, not just simple hatred. Pure 100% unadulterated hatred. That from the bottom of their heart, they hate the Lord. So whatever, that's what I'm saying, it is so liberal that it need not be just prema, or it need not just be one kind of emotion. He says, pick any emotion, divert it towards me, I still will give you the paramasthiti. So these 16 steps have been analyzed or given in a most refined, most revolutionary manner, because when we get into our traditions, there is certain dogma that we settle in for, and this Upanishad breaks every such system. It gives freshness into the entire process of puja or upasana. So without much delay, we will get into the Upanishad. Om tasya,
Om tasya,
nischintanam,
nischintanam,
dhyanam,
dhyanam,
Om tasya,
Om tasya,
nischintanam,
nischintanam,
dhyanam,
dhyanam.
So So the first step in every upasana is we first do the dhyana of the Lord. In a book which captures Gurudev's life, Journey of a Master, there it is described that Gurudev, when he was young, as was the tradition, his whole family in the evening would sit down for puja arati, but it was such a chore, laborious chore. I don't know about all of you, but I was a great devotee of the Lord, especially Bhagavan Vishnu, after the arati. Prasada bhakti. So that was the time that prasada was given. So we would be playing cricket until then, and as soon as arati will be done, we would rush to the tap, you know, wash our hands and legs, and then rush into the temple. And pujari was nice. He was friendly to us. He would first give us our share and then give it to the rest of them. So that was what our bhakti was too. When you start, it starts with prasada bhakti. So when we sit for the puja, Gurudev also used to sit for that puja, and then he used to feel bored. He used to play. And what was his playing? And little did he realize that this is the process of upasana itself, manasika upasana. So he would visualize the Lord and he would like transport him into his imagination, into his heart. And as he would transport it into his imagination, he would enliven that Lord. Like when you think of your loved ones, your wife, husband, children, whoever, when you think of them, do you close your eyes and think of them? Are they a two-dimensional photograph? Or is it a three-dimensional live format that you visualize? It's a question.
Yes, live.
It's a live format, three-dimensional, right? But when we think of God, often, isn't it just a photograph or a statue that you imagine? It's not an enlivened form. And Gurudev used to enliven that form. And having enlivened, he would then interact with that Lord. It was Shiva. And he would interact with that Lord, and sometimes he would even play. Play hide and seek or whatever it was. But he would have his own version of the puja, or entertaining himself through the puja by involving the Lord in his imagination and having fun with him. And that is the very purpose of upasana, is that you create that beautiful image of that Lord, that it is etched in your heart, in not just a photograph or in a two-dimensional format, but in an enlivened format. So you start with the dhyana. So whatever stotra, stuti that we start, the first shloka is always dhyana shloka. So you say Lalita Sahasranama, what is the dhyana shloka there? Sindhura Aruna Vigraham Trinayanam Manikya Mauli Spurat. You go to Vishnu Sahasranama, what is the dhyana shloka? Shuklam Bharadaram is an invocation. Kshirodhanvat Pradeshe Shuchimani Vilasat Saikate Mauktikanam is a dhyana. So every stotra stuti, including Rudra or Aruna, every stuti has first is dhyana. And what is the focal point of that dhyana? He says, this Upanishad says, whoever is the Lord that you are worshipping. Again, very liberal. Many people ask, is Hindu God monotheistic or polytheistic? Neither. It's a monotheistic God principle expressing in polytheistic God forms. Paramatma expressing in various forms of deities. Whichever is the form of deity that you are worshipping is nothing but the representation, that which is represented as Om. Om Tasya Nischintanam Dhyanam. What is Dhyanam? Nischintanam Tasya. Tasya, that which is represented by Omkara. Now this Omkara is an amazing syllable, primordial sound, that when you even go into the nature makes this sound naturally. You go into the caves, you go into undisturbed environments, very rare to find, because wherever there is a human, there is already disturbance. Otherwise, where you find that virgin, undisturbed, you will find that the nature is already making that sound. You just have to tune into it. And this is one part wherein I think various religions also agree that, Bhagwan first created this sound, and from this sound came everything else. I think even in the Bible it says that the Lord created the word, and from the word came the world. I would say Om and Amin and Amen, they almost look similar. So Om Tasya Nischin, that which is represented by Om. Om has what? Three syllables. If you know a little bit of Sanskrit, it says A plus U becomes O. And the nasal sound of Makara left in the end, it is M. So the total thing is Om. So through various Upanishads, various references, it is often indicated the entire world is represented through Om. Vyakta avyakta. Why and how? So if you take our Aksharamala, Aksharamala, that assembly of sounds which are not repetitive and which are indivisible, Kshara, that which can be divided, Akshara, that which cannot be divided. So the entire Aksharamala, the syllables that we have, starts from A. And what is the last syllable of the Aksharamala? Technically it is Pavarga Ma. There are Sanyukta Vyanjana, they are not considered as the main part because they can be broken down. If they are broken down, they are not part of Aksharamala, they are Aksharamala. Therefore, it is Ma. And all syllables that, all words that are created are combination of these basic indivisible sounds. And probably that is why across various native Indian languages, the most easy sound for the child to make is a guttural sound of A and the ending sound of Ma. Therefore, the most immediate contact of that child ends up being called as Amma or Ma, which means mother. Now, how are the entire Aksharamala arranged? How are the syllables arranged in that Aksharamala? Based on the origin of sound. A very scientific, very beautifully arranged language. And that itself is a huge topic. I just have to curtail myself from not dwelling deep into that topic. The origin, like for example, take the pavarga. What is pavarga? Pa, pha, ba, bha, ma. They are called oshtya for a purpose. Oshtya meaning the upper lip and the lower lip has to come together to make that sound. Now the challenge is, make sure that they don't touch and try to make the sound of pavarga. Try. There's a reason why it is called oshtya, because it has to touch. Sa, sha, sha. These three syllables again, if you understand the origin of it, there will be no confusion. Otherwise, I keep using these syllables, don't take it personally. I'm not pulling anybody's leg here, it is, you hear it. You understand that it is a Gujarati speaking, if they, instead of saying sugar, they say
sugar.
And yesterday I told about Venkatrao Bhaiyar, are you wandering in the baranda like a vagabond? Vakara vakara yoho abhedaha. So based on how you say these syllables, you can tell which part of the world they are from. So if it is Krishna versus Krishna, different kinds of pronunciation, you can tell which part of the world they are from. In South, they will put a dirgha for everything. So it becomes Shiva. In North, they will cut tails of everybody. So it becomes Shiv. Is it Shiv or Shiva? Neither. So pronunciation, right? It origin of the. So, when you say it, the mouth is open. What is the mid sound? Oo. When the mouth is half open. Oo. And the final sound is ma, when the mouth is closed. So, the entire syllables that have been arranged from a to ma are based on this origin of its sound. Between the completely opened mouth to final one where it is closed. So all the sounds, all the names. And names are often used. The main purpose of the names used is to tag efficiently all the forms. And each person has their own tagging system. One was Gurudev and next is now Guruji. These are the two people I see who have effective tagging system. I've seen this with Guruji. He must have been meeting what? Millions and millions. His amazing tagging system is, if you go, he will update and upgrade his information on you. Add the years. And I said, last time I met you about 4 years ago, your son was studying 6th grade. He should be now in 10th grade. How is he studying? And he'll remember all those little details, upgrade it, and then... My tagging system is... I remember the face, may not remember the name, but definitely I have one, I remember what language they speak. That much I remember. Name I may not remember. My tagging system. And with the kind of electronic media these days, In the earlier days, you would write the name, you would remember their numbers and other details. And today, you don't even know whose phone number is what. There is no tagging happening. You look at the photo and they click and it will go to a call. Earlier when you had that the dialing system, when somebody asks what is their phone number, you would close your eyes and then and then you will rattle out the combination. So the entire world of names is nothing but tagged. In the forms are tagged by the names. So Om is representing the entire world of Vyakta Avyakta Prapancha. One way of looking at it. Akara represents the waking world, Ukara represents the dream, and Makara represents deep sleep. In between the Omkara, there is Nishabda, silence, and that is the Turiya Sthiti. Om Tasya Nischintanam Dhyanam. How should that dhyana be? How should that focal point be? The focal point should be Nischintanam. Nischintanam, clear. What am I sitting here for? Purposefulness. If that purposefulness is not there, then it becomes nirlaksha. Laksha, to have a goal, to have a purpose. Nirlaksha, to not have a goal. Many of us, the seekers, they start with a goal, but then they settle down with somewhere in between they settle down. Like tortoise and the hare story. Slow and steady wins the race. With lot of enthusiasm they jump. Having reached, there was this lady. We were living on second floor in the apartment complex, and she was living on the fourth floor. And every so often this would be a common scene for us. She would climb all the way up to the second floor. Okay. And say, "Ab mujhse nahi hoga," and she'll get down. Another two floors you will be done. Waste of effort. We'll come halfway through and then we'll give up. What is the purpose? Why are we here? I was taught that by Guruji very efficiently on the first day of my, not first day, second day of my getting into the ashram. And those of you who have gone to Sandipani, Bombay, the place where we are taught is called Saraswati Nilaya, where we are given food, offer food is called Annakshetra. Annakshetra was just being built. It was yet to be inaugurated. And until then they had asbestos sheeted small little, and it was elaborate. The flooring, I observed, again, my vasana, I have a special itch for construction. So, the first day I went, there was some kind of flooring. They had peeled everything out. And the entire marble flooring was pulled out. And it was done like every tile was broken. And then they had a granite system and then that was also broken. There was a tile used. It almost like every other day, there was a new system of flooring and it was peeled. Who is the manager? So I went very seriously to Guruji. Do you know how much is being wasted? As if I am the general manager of this universe, I went to Guruji trying to explain to him. So Guruji listened and he said, "So you have joined here to be a brahmachari?" "Yes." "But you seem to be interested in a lot of this construction and other things." I said, "Yes." So he picked up the phone, called Jairamji, he was the manager of the trust. So he said, "Come." I said, "Take his measurements, tomorrow, by tomorrow give him the brown clothes." Brown clothes are worn by the people working in the ashram. And I was like, he seems to be liking into construction and in such work and not be a brahmachari. Therefore, give him those clothes and whatever suits him, whatever makes him happy. So I said, no, I came here for stick to that. The other things, there are other people to look into it. You focus on that which you have come for. Never lose sight of that. It's so easy to lose. So easy to lose that focal point and lose track of why we are, where we are, and what is it that we need to achieve. Om. Tasya nischintanam dhyanam. That should be dhyana. Now once I sit, make up my mind that this is where I need to reach. Nothing less than that. Well, our human mindset is, aim for the stars, at least you will land on the rooftop. What a pathetic aim. You are aiming for something higher, and your rooftop is also okay. It's pretty bad. Aim, keep that goal, and that goal is that which is represented by Om. Om tasya nischintanam dhyanam. What is the next step? The next step is, after having done the dhyana, we are invoking that Lord and inviting that Lord into that pratima, that murti, whichever form that you are worshipping in. Therefore, you put your hand on your heart and then touch that murti. And in the process of doing upasana or puja, you touch that murti, saying, O Lord, come and please. You are inviting the next step after the dhyana. So that is said here. Sarva karma.
Sarva karma.
Nirakaranam.
Nirakaranam.
Avahanam.
Avahanam.
Sarva karma.
Sarva karma.
Nirakaranam.
Nirakaranam.
Avahanam.
Avahanam.
This has to be very intensely understood. When you invite somebody, when you want to interact with somebody, invite somebody, and after having invited, you are busy with your phone, text message, pad, whatever you are into. Now, if you are the one being invited, how would you feel? Pretty neglected. Frustrated that. In Dallas, many of these priests are literally scared of anybody coming from Chinmaya Mission if it is an acharya. I was invited to the temple for some talk, and they said, first we'll go to the deities. And the local temple, the oldest one, I call that a wholesale party there. You name a god and it is there. And so if I had to really plan that, if I have to get to my talk and I had to go through this hoop of, it's not just one deity, right? It is like about 23 or 24 different deities, and every one there is a little arati, mantra, stotra, and namaskar, chamatkar, and then. So it takes about half an hour minimum if there is that one person coming with you consistently. If he finds another customer, I'm a non-paying customer. If there is a paying customer, he'll drop me off there and he'll go there, attend, and then come back to me. That is also fine. One day, what got me irritated that he is doing the arati, okay, to that Lord, that Jagadishwara, that Parameshwara, the arati is being given. And then suddenly his phone rings. And he picks the phone up, gives them the time, gives them the appointment, talks about the rate. Everything is fixed. And then he cuts the phone. And then, wherever, again he starts the mantra and then does the arati. He ticked me off to no end. I was really boiling within. Very rarely I find myself irritated that deeply, intensely. Something has to be done. So I asked that priest, you know, I need to talk to you something, but I don't want to talk in front of everybody. I'll be done by this time. I'll take a peek inside when give you a hint that I'm leaving. So come and meet me near that place. So as the appointed time approached, I had called up one of my Yuva Kendra students. I said, we'll have some fun. I'll say something, you say something. Nothing needs to be connected. Let's talk nonsense for a while. They're good at it. Let's talk nonsense for a while. So this person, this priest came in and I started talking about, something unconnected, construction sometimes, fundraising sometimes, something. So after 2-3 minutes, he says, you called me. Again. I said, just 2 more minutes and I'll just have to important call. So I kept talking and talking and talking. I pushed it about 10 minutes. He was getting completely irritated. And finally he gave up. I was just pushing him to that level. Finally he gave up and he burst out. He says, you're continuing, you have my number, you call me later. So I asked this Yuva Kendra member, I said, I think your time has come. You can put the phone down now. So I called the priest. I said, you get frustrated when I ignore you for 10 minutes. What are you after all? A priest. You are invoking that Jagadishwara and that Jagadishwara has to wait for your stupid phone call. See, when we are in front of that Lord, what should be the bhavana? Sarva karma nirakaranam. Itch to do anything else has to be put aside. That is called a true avahanam. That, O Lord, I am available and I am available in front of you 100%. And that is called namaskara in simple terms. When they say namaste, one Mahatma used to say, namaste, namaste, kuch nahi samajhte. What does namaste mean? You put 2 hands together and say namaste. The beauty behind this gesture is that the left hand is related to the right part of the brain. And the right hand is related to the left part of the brain. I am bringing my total mind to this present moment and I am offering myself unto you. Bringing myself not in percentages. 2% is left in the office, 3% in Starbucks, 4% in the traffic, in some loan, mortgage, another 10%. How much percent? 1% is okay for you. Hurry up. No, I am invoking you, Lord. And the 100% of me, the entirety of me, I am bringing to this present moment and offering it to you. Rest of it can wait. You are the most important aspect. Therefore, I am here 100% with you. Sarva karma nirakaranam. All other activities can stay outside. Now, there are people who sit for puja with their phone, and that's why I stopped going to this, even the pujas, which is often done by as a social event. Not as a religious event, not as a spiritual event, as a social event. The priest is in his own world of whatever. The yajaman, the grihastha who has to perform the puja, you know that you are going to perform puja, there will be guests that you have invited. They will be missing their exits and routes and they will call you. Why don't you ask one of your friends to take attend to that call? Nay. You'll drop the everything and then I keep getting irritated in focus and stay focused in that point. You are invoking that Jagadishwar, that Paramatma, and that in front of whom everything else is meaningless. Every other activity can be put aside. So, long time ago, there are these tradition called Varkari. This is in Maharashtra. These people, amazing singers, and they chant. Or 24/7, as long as they are awake, they keep chanting Jai Jai Ram Krishna Hari. That is the mantra, Jai Jai Ram Krishna Hari, they keep chanting. So their journey is from Alandi, which is Gyaneshwar, Sant Gyaneshwar Maharaj Samadhi, from there to Pandharpur. They avoid getting into villages or towns. I mean, there's in thousands. Imagine thousands of them with cymbals and dholak and dholki and everybody in sync singing. It's an amazing experience. And it is led by their spiritual leader. And those times, this I'm talking about 20 years ago, 22 years ago. This is Satarkar Maharaj. Baba Satarkar Maharaj was. And he had invited our entire batch of brahmacharis to join him, at least for a day, just to experience it. So we said, we'll join him for 3 days. Since we were his guests, what we got was like an amazing treatment. The rest of them were, you had to fend for themselves, but we were guests, so we were treated royally. So early morning I woke up. Not that I had a habit of sleeping out in the open. It was a very weird feeling. So, woke up, didn't get proper sleep. So, woke up very early. And I saw, I had the opportunity to see Baba Satarkar Maharaj to wake up. So, as soon as he woke up, he took out his Japamala and then started chanting. And I was like, just finished the Vedanta course. Holier than thou. I know everything. I've just learnt Vedanta. So with all that attitude put in and the traditional background. So I said, hey Ram, he's a spiritual leader and he doesn't even know the right way of doing things. First you have to wake up, you have to freshen up, take shower, and then start all this. And that kept bothering me, and I never had courage to ask him. So as the second day we proceeded, half of the day, just about an hour or 2 hours before lunch, until then he was singing and leading the crowd, he gave it to his son, and then he comes and he puts his hand around me. I said, am I still the issue bothering in your head? I was like a naked thing. What can I say? Yeah, you are, I said. At that point, when he is so point blank caught you red handed, I said, yeah, you are bothering me. Could you please explain yourself as to why that process? And he said something very beautiful. He said, the first thing that is most important as you wake up into this world, everything else, any other relation, any other kind of activity is secondary. Primary is your connection with that Almighty. Connect with that Lord and then you can think about rest of it. That is primary. What an amazing standpoint. Sarva karma nirayafik is not just for upasana, not just for puja. For the entire life it is the attitude. That my first primary focal point is the Lord and connection with the Lord. Baki dunya bhaad mein jaye. Let the rest of the world, it can wait. World and its worldliness can wait. Let me be with that focal point of connection with the Lord and Lord alone. Sarva karma nirakaranam avahanam. Now you have invited the Lord. Having invited the Lord, now the Lord has come. What is the next step? Nischalagnanam.
Nischalagnanam.
Asanam.
Asanam.
Nischalagnanam.
Nischalagnanam.
Asanam.
Asanam.
So you, having invited the Lord, see, when somebody knocks at your door, so what is the next thing that you do? You know that person, you have been waiting for that person, you invite them inside. Having invited them inside, you give them also the best of the seat. See, some of these seats that we have in, especially America, you sit and you need somebody else to pull you out from there. It sinks. I was at somebody's house and I was sitting in one such seat and I said, this is not for you, Swamiji, you should sit there. So I moved and I saw the difference. So I looked at that Amma, she has a very funny bone. I said, why that one then? If this is comfortable, why it's such a sinking one? Oh, that is for those guests who come in, that we don't want to daunt them to stay for more than 5 minutes. We make them sit there. And not that she's a mean lady or anything. It's just a funny way of looking at life. You know, you are attached to things that you buy 40 years ago, right? It was their first couch that they bought on their first salary. So they have never given it up. And It just sinks. And thank goodness the springs and things are, they don't poke you from inside. It just sinks. You don't just offer any seat, right? And that too, if it is the most loved, beloved of your heart is coming and you have been intensely, eagerly waiting. And what do you offer? You offer the best of the comfortable seating. And not going for unnecessary ego trip here to show off. But the best that you can afford at your level, you are offering it to that Lord. And how should that asana be? Nischala. If the asana itself is wobbly, it happens sometimes. That's why yesterday I asked him the first thing. That in that Vaswani center, said, is this stable? You not believe, there are places wherein I have been asked to sit on ottoman, and a couple of ottomans put together and one orange cloth and it suddenly is sanctified. Having sat there, they have wheels, Two of them slipped and I mean said, sometimes they put tables, and these are flimsy tables, almost fallen down, luckily they didn't break anything. You give such kind of asana, nischala, chala, that which is moving, wobbling, that which is having consistency and firmness in it, that should be the asana. Sankalpa Shakti. Nischala Jnanam. Sankalpa Shakti taken. That is the Sankalpa Shakti which Buddha had taken. 14 years he roamed here and there. And he got disgusted with himself. Enough is enough. And that day, under that Bodhi Vriksha, he sits down and he makes a commitment to himself. What is a commitment? Karyam va sadhayami, shariram va patayami. Either I achieve it here and now, or even if this body perishes, so be it. That commitment, that level of firmness, that you are not wobbling around. Wobbling around, missing the very point of that purpose. So you are invoking that Lord, inviting that Lord and giving that priority, that firmness, that I have to find that Lord, I have to abide in that tattva and nothing else matters. That nischalatvam. Especially from Andhra Pradesh, as you will find these names. One thing that really used to disturb me, because of its meaning, or Chalapati Rao. It never made sense. Chala means mobile, that which is wobbling. Chalapati, the one who is the lord of the one which is wobbling. It never made sense. Then it clicked that probably it must have been a shortened form of Venkata Chalapati. Balaji is another name. But wrongly done Sandhi Vicheda. It should be Venkata Achalapati. Then we make it a Chalapati. Bhagavan is not Chalapati, it is Achalapati, Nischalapati. And when I sit for that Upasana, when I sit for that Dhyana, everything else can wait. It is not a multitasking process. Now, Swamiji, is it okay that I keep chanting and doing my cooking, driving and other things? It's fine. But find that specific time wherein you are not otherwise engaged with anything else, and all that you are engaged is with the Lord and the Lord alone. Put things aside. Nischalam. Nischala jnanam asanam. That sankalpa shakti, that I am sitting and I am sitting here for that accomplishment alone. Imagine a 5-year-old Dhruva, after 2 months, he is just eating a leaf. After 3 months, he has just taken one breath and he has stopped breathing after that. He has become one with that totality, becoming one with that totality. The totality was feeling suffocated. Because he is now representing the totality, he has taken one breath and he is not breathing anymore. So the totality is, you know, demanding the Lord. Oh Lord, this fellow is not allowing us. You better give him darshan. Lord says, okay, tathastu. Nothing else matters, he stays focused on that. That nishtha, jnana nishtha, sankalpa shakti is required. Nishchala jnanam asanam. The next, after having, then you wash the feet and hands. That we will see tomorrow. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.